Good morning. Please take your copy of God's Word and stand and turn to Acts chapter 20. We're going to be reading verses 17 through 38 again this morning. Now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time, from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you, among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom, will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. This is the word of the Lord.
Yes, indeed. Please keep your Bibles open to Acts chapter 20. This is part two of this wonderful text. It's an endearing scene that we've come across. There, Paul with the elders of the church in Ephesus, and there's just so much here that I thought let's take another week to see what we can extract and for the benefit of our own lives and for the glory of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, ask for his help, our gracious God. We do thank you for this wonderful scene and this wonderful book that Acts has been to us. And we pray, God, that once again you might move and speak through a mere man to declare to your people what they need. Some in this room need to be convicted and challenged in their faith, and some need to be comforted and consoled. And God, I trust that your word is able to do all of that and absolutely so much more. And so we pray, Christ, that you would draw near to us by your Spirit and Word, as you always do, that you might show us our need for you. You might show us how glorious and wonderful and lovely you are in the gospel. And I pray that you would do that in this short time. In Christ's name, amen. Well, congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to a theme today that is of utmost importance, and that is the theme of shepherding or pastoring. I imagine you have good thoughts about shepherding and pastoring, I hope at least. And I imagine, sadly, you have discouraging thoughts about pastoring and shepherding. I think the best way I can introduce such a topic is to tell of a real-life scenario. Names are changed, and this is not our church, but I think it does a good job of highlighting or giving weight to what we talk about and what Christ speaks to us here in this text. So Kathy Williams was affectionately known to many as Kate. She was born on September 22nd, 1953. In 1986, Kathy became a member of Covenant Church on the basis of her profession of faith and remained a member until her death on July 14th, 2005. The death of Kathy Williams became a watershed moment in the pastoral shepherding ministry of Covenant Church. Coming out of a rebellious and loose lifestyle, Kathy made a profession of faith and actively participated in the life of the church. But then she began to fall into her old sinful ways. She abandoned the church, and no one knew where she was, or at least no one cared to find out. Her name, however, remained on the rolls of the church, but just as a name. Shortly before her death, God placed Kathy back on the doorstep of Covenant Church. Pastoral interaction with the dying Kathy was too brief to confirm how she stood before the Lord. In a cloud of uncertainty, Kathy was memorialized. She will have to stand before Christ to give account for her life, as we all will. But before that same throne, the under-shepherds of the flock at Covenant Church will give account for this one lost sheep. I think I've read that story at least a dozen times. It's in a book that we give out to our pastors, our elders here at Redeeming Grace. Every time I read it, including today, there's a weight, there's a reality about pastoring. Pastoring is a joy, no doubt. But pastoring and shepherding has a weight to it. And I think that story does a good job of perhaps giving the congregation a little insight as to what pastors think about on a weekly basis. Not looking for a self-pity party, by the way. But as you read there in verse 28, and we'll get to this, but Paul tells the Ephesian elders that the church was obtained with Christ's own blood. And so in some sense, congregation, every time a pastor looks out upon his church, or the church, it's not our church, there's a sense in which the blood of Christ covers the body. And while in seminary you study all kinds of doctrine and ecclesiastical minutiae, it's important, you don't really realize, at least I didn't, that when you are ordained and called into the office of pastor, this sense of the sheep being covered by the blood of Christ becomes remarkably palpable to a pastor's soul. A little bit of context as we get into this text. Paul is on the island of Miletus. He's called for the elders of Ephesus to join him. As we said last week, it takes about 2 days for these men to arrive, so Paul has thought through what he's going to say. The words he has said here is intentionally and carefully placed and prayed about, I would imagine. which means that you and I ought to take these words with utmost care and consideration this morning, and as we always do in God's Word. This week, I just want to focus on this theme of pastoring, on shepherding. What does it mean? What is it? What are we doing? What do I do? Well, first, pastors, we are told, are to pay attention to their own heart. And secondly, we're told there in verse 28 that pastors are to pay attention to all the flock. Let's address these in order. First, pastors, pay attention to your own heart. This perhaps doesn't apply to all here. I understand that. But to those who are perhaps going into the ministry, current elders and pastors, maybe just a fly on the wall as to what we think about. Here is our call. Verse 28 there, beloved. Pay careful attention to yourselves, Paul says. Now, if you will, hold your finger right there and go to 1 Timothy 4:16. 1 Timothy 4:16. Paul is speaking to his young apprentice, and he tells Timothy in this letter he writes to him, chapter 4, verse 16, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. So this must have been in Paul's mind constantly, don't you think? He tells the elders in Ephesus, pay attention to yourselves. And he writes to Timothy, young man, I want you to keep a close watch on yourself. A pastor's highest concern, beloved, is not drawing a crowd. It's not preaching amazing sermons. A pastor's chief concern must be his own soul. We have a pastoral culture problem, I think, in our day. I think Paul Tripp is right. We're valuing gifts over graces, both, I think, at the church level and at the seminary level. We're producing men with big theological brains, and they have a heart disease. They're not watching their own heart. They're going through ministry, meetings, preaching, and they've neglected a close, intimate walk with the Savior. And so the man who can lead effectively and preach powerfully is the pastor everyone wants and needs. Or so we think. The trouble is, he's disguised something. There's something not right with him. Because sometimes the man who possesses all the gifts, not all the time, sometimes the man who possesses all the gifts is empty when it comes to the graces of humility, repentance, and love. Let me tell you two stories, okay? There's a guy who works right above me at my office. He comes down a couple times a week and asks me pastoral and theological questions. Right at that perfect time, you know? And he says, Ryan, I have a question for you. I got a scenario I want you to think about. And I said, shoot, I'm not busy. And he said, I have a friend who was a youth pastor, but he disqualified himself from ministry with a sin. And now is 8 months later, and two churches have called him to be their pastor. And he says, what church should he take? And I said, none. Why none? This guy is really gifted. He can speak really well. He can preach really well. Why would you say no church? And I said, well, I'm not the type to say that if you fall into sin, you can never pastor again. I don't think that way. Though it depends on the nature of the offense. But I said to him, I think your friend needs to spend time under the ministry of the Word for quite some time. And he needs to think about and investigate what idols he had in his heart that led him to do what he did. And he said, oh, I don't know if he's going to do that. Besides, these churches are asking him to be their pastor. And I said, the Lord doesn't care about how gifted your friend is. He doesn't care. He wants men of character. He wants men who pay attention to their own heart. Story number two. A friend of mine this week again called me. He's in seminary. You know him. He wants to be ordained pastor of a local church. So I asked him, what do you want in ministry? What are you doing? What do you want? Why do you want to be a pastor? What do you want in the ministry? And he said to me, Ryan, I want to be buried in insignificance. And I said, well, you come to Colorado, I'll go to your church. That's the type of men we need, isn't it? Oh, we love the gifts. And all of this extra stuff, what a man can do. And Paul gathers these elders together and he says to them, first and foremost, men, I want you to be men who care for your own soul. That's the lifeline from which you minister with and from. Pay attention to your heart, dear pastor. So perhaps a takeaway for you this morning is to know your pastors. Do you know them? When you talk to them, do you ask them how their heart is doing? Not the ministry. The heck with ministry, right? That's the easy part. How is your heart, Pastor? Maybe go to his wife. Excuse me, Pastor's wife. How is marriage? Oh, I love being married to my husband. Okay. Just checking. Okay? Know your pastors. Know their heart. One of my favorite questions I receive from you guys. Ryan Luce actually does it quite a bit on Sunday mornings before everyone gets here. I'm sitting over there reading my sermon. Ryan Luce sits down next to me and says, how you been? How you doing? And I'm able to share with Ryan what's on my heart. Pay attention, pastors, to your own soul. I don't care about big crowds. I'm never going to publish anything. I just don't care. I want to make it to the end. I'm just trying to make it to the end. Well, pay attention to your own heart, and perhaps more important for you, maybe not more important, but more practical, pastors, pay attention to the flock. Pay attention to the flock, verse 28. Look with me there. Pay attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I just want to mark out three observations from this phrase, this sentence. First, notice Paul tells these men to pay attention to all the flock. So each little lamb is to be cared for. No matter if you're 95 or 5 months, each little sheep, each little lamb is to be loved and protected from these false teachers, these wolves that come around. Everybody, you can be unruly, it's not good. You can be unruly, you're biting at a sheep, or maybe you're well behaved. But each little lamb is to be the apple of the shepherd's eye and the song of the shepherd's voice. And I don't know about you, but I just see the Lord Jesus here. Aren't you Christ paying attention to all the flock? Read that story in Luke 15. Where the shepherd is, he's got 100 sheep. One wanders off, he takes off. The shepherd sees him and he just leaves the 99 and he goes to the sheep. Throws the sheep on his shoulders and runs back to the sheepfold and he tells his friends, the text says, he rejoices. Look who I got back. The little lamb that wandered. We're all back together. Christ, as the chief shepherd, cares for every little lamb in his flock. And maybe that's what you precisely need to hear today. Maybe this is you wandering, biting other sheep perhaps, wandering away from the fold, wondering if everyone is going to come back and rescue you. And there is the Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, dawning with the close of the gospel, and he comes to you today in the gospel, in his word, and he throws you upon his shoulders. And there you are, kicking and screaming. But Christ comes to you in all of his love and brings you back into the fold to grant you the shepherding care once again. Pastors, pay attention to all the flock. Second, we see here that pastors are appointed by the Holy Spirit. He says, pastors, pay attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So pastors don't appoint themselves. They're not rogue pastors. They split a church and go be a pastor again. That's not how it works. Now, the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. You come under the lordship of Christ. And Ephesians 4 is more clear on this. It says that when Christ ascended, he gave gifts to the church, offices, extraordinary ones, prophet, apostle, but ordinary ones, pastors, teachers, evangelists. He gave gifts to the church upon his ascension. And one of those gifts, shepherds, overseers, is right here. And Paul says that the Spirit, the very person of the Godhead who animates the life of the church, calls and appoints officers to fill that office. You don't self-appoint. You're certainly not appointed by a denomination or a congregation for that matter. Ultimately, an elder's authority is from above. It is not in him or from him. It is from God. Now, can this authority be abused? Misused? Yes. Okay, so what limits an elder's authority then? Well, the answer is Scripture. Scripture does. And Paul alludes to this principle right here in chapter 20. I want you to see this. Verses 20 and 21. Paul says, "How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks." Look at those participles. Verse 20, declaring anything that was profitable, teaching and testifying, verse 21. So he confines the elder's authority to the ministry of the word, to what he teaches. Verses 24 and 25, he speaks about testifying to the gospel of the grace of God. "And now behold, I know," verse 25, "that none of you among whom I have gone out proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again." You have this teaching aspect being emphasized here in Acts 20, showing the pastors that their authority rests in Scripture. It is limited to the Bible. And therefore, as we've said before here at Redeeming Grace, an elder's authority is only derivative and only ministerial and declarative. Pastors do not legislate laws, and it is not magisterial. Our authority is only bound by Scripture, and that alone. So pay attention to all the flock. And he says the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And then he says, lastly, "I want you to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." I want you to care. That word there, to care. When I first got into the ministry, I thought my job was to fix people. Boy, was I wrong. No, pastors are to care. They're to shepherd. I can't even fix myself. That's God's work. I can't fix my home and my family. That's God's work. I am to care for the church. And the best phrase I can use to say that, to describe that, is I'm called with the other men I serve with to bring you to Jesus and to bring Jesus to you, to care for you, for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Imagine me and my family being in a car accident. There's my wife, Jamie, and my four kids. And we're in a bad accident. And car's flipped over, and you pull up beside us. It's Ryan and the family. And I'm badly hurt. I'm not gonna make it. I'm bleeding out. I'm a goner. And you see my kids and Jamie and I see you. And I tell you with my dying breath, I want you to take care of my bride. And I want you to care for my flock. Don't you think for the rest of your life, maybe once a week, you would think, I remember those words, and I am obligated and privileged to care for this man's flock. Well, that's a poor illustration for what Paul says here with what Jesus does and thinks about his church. I'm going to glory, Christ says. I have finished my course. And boy, did he ever. Died. Rose. Ascended to glory. What a course it was. Still is. And he tells pastors, I cannot believe this. I just cannot believe it. If it wasn't in the Bible, I would not believe it. He tells pastors, I've purchased these people with my own blood. I want you to care for them while I'm gone. And that's the context by which pastors labor. Pastors are to be the tone of Christ's voice, the touch of his hand, and the look on his face. Maybe this message was better served at a pastor's conference, but I chose to preach it here. Because obviously Luke recorded us for all of us to understand what a pastor is and what is paramount to his ministry. It is not preaching great sermons. It is not drawing a crowd. A pastor's ministry is twofold. And I pray to God, I finish my course. I have no reason to think I will. I won't, I mean. He's to care for his own heart. And he's to care for his church. Let's pray. Oh, gracious God. I thank you for the ministry of the word, that you might use it to reorient our pastoral culture problem that we seem to have, both the men and the seminaries and the churches, that we might be a church, that I might be such a man and the elders in this room, that our heart might be our greatest care and second the church. A church that you have bought with your own blood. Amen.